Krishna. Dear viewers and audience, wherever you are, greetings from our Gita for Self-Growth podcast team. Thank you, Madan Sundar ji, for having me and looking forward for this new episode. So where are we now? 1.9 is done, right?
Yes, Prabhuji, 1.10.
So I'll chant the verse. Aparyaptam tadasmakam balam bhishma abhirakshitam paryaptam tvidametesham balam bhima abhirakshitam. Translation. Now this is Duryodhana's call it PR or kind of a pep talk. So this is how he's bragging. Our strength is immeasurable and we are perfectly protected by grandfather Bhishma, whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited. So here Prabhupada writes that this is an estimation of comparative strength, and as usual, every ruler coming to a battle would feel that the strength of my armed forces is immeasurable, and especially because it is protected by the most experienced general, grandfather Bhishma. And who is on the other side? Well, Pandavas, they had faced 12 years of exile in the forest, and war in the Mahabharata sense is more of how many contacts you can make, who can come to your help. And it so happens that many kings saw that, whoa, if we go on the Pandava side, we feel they are actually on the dharmic side, but we would be earning Duryodhana's ire. He could get mad at us. And maybe the Pandavas are not going to win at all. So every king, practically, who was a vassal of the king of Hastinapur, was doing this pros and cons. And thus we see the entire plains of Kurukshetra, these massive armies come together. So Bhima is formidable. Bhima is Duryodhana's arch enemy, but he feels he's like a fig in the presence of Bhishma.
Bhishma, correct.
Duryodhana was also very envious of Bhima. He also knew that if at all he has to die, it would be Bhima who would kill him. And still, like hope against hope, he's feeling that, I think we are going to be successful. So, any thoughts from what we just discussed?
I mean, it's interesting when we read Sanjay describing about Pandavas, the only thought that comes to me, we don't see anywhere Yudhishthira Maharaj boasting about his army.
Yeah, correct.
But here Duryodhana is boasting about his army. So the question that comes to my mind is, what's the intent? What is he up to? Or what indicates about his mindset? Somehow I feel, as what I understand from the discussion that we're having, he is kind of insecure. He's afraid. And he's trying to do a cover-up of his own fear by trying to boost the confidence or morale of his army by speaking up. Somewhere to me, it looks like, what I see it right now, it looks like not only he's so shocked seeing the huge army of Pandavas, although pretty much less in strength as compared to the Duryodhana's army, he's kind of worried that looks like the morale of my army is also down. So he's kind of trying to raise the morale of his army by speaking such words and trying to give himself a kind of a dosage of boost so that he can stand on the battlefield and move on. Isn't that something which we see a lot even in day-to-day, let's say, a political arena or anything? For example, if there is any election campaign going on and the election ends, every party is super confident, we're going to get the absolute majority. So it's kind of a very day-to-day affair, isn't it? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Very true, very true. In fact, we will be concluding this whole thing about diplomacy. Somebody could be surprised that, hey, why bring diplomacy in a spiritual text? Well, because it is part of life in that sense. It is not the essential part of life, but It is a part of life. So if some of our audience would remember, it began with the king going to Dronacharya first, that you didn't do a good job of training that rascal Drishtadyumna. Now he's in front of us and he's like their commander. Then to Bhishma. Then he makes a list of all the big name warriors. So that's like to give him some succor, some solace, some kind of happy feeling. And now he is making a statement which, interestingly, some of our acharyas, especially Baldev Vidya Bhushan and Vishwanath Chakravartipad, they have given slightly different flavors of this one utterance from Duryodhan. Our strength is immeasurable, aparyaptam, immeasurable. While what is protected by Bhima is paryaptam, limited. Guess what? Prabhupada, in the very beginning, didn't want the reader to get kind of caught up in various meanings of Sanskrit, where Sanskrit can mean slightly different flavors. Our strength is immeasurable, but aparyaptam can also mean it is not up to the mark. And why is that? Well, I have Bhishma, I have Drona, but their heart is towards the opposite party. Man, they love Arjun, they love Yudhishthir. So what good are big fighters if they don't fight from their heart? So this was his doubt. And therefore, he's saying in one sense that, hey, I don't think we have the required strength. While Bhima, he is having the Pandava strength, Krishna is on their side. They are actually sufficiently armed and they have sufficient strength to fight us or even to defeat us. Of course, he is not going to admit that. And in the Vedic text, we have sometimes people who are very, they harbor this great enmity towards Krishna. So it is described sometimes devotees and sometimes demons and sometimes even devotees like Indra calling Krishna names. But Saraswati Devi, she has her policy that whatever someone says, it has to be, it can be actually for the glorification of Krishna. Maybe the person doesn't even know that. So I'm not going to, utilize more time for this one factor, but it's an important one that he knows that although my grandfather and my teacher, they are with me, we don't have the proper dharmic influence on our side. So there is a slight element that do evil people know they are doing evil? I'm slightly going deeper and like playing psychologist, which I don't want to, but there is this small nagging, small, still small voice which tells you, not good, Baba. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that. And then the person rationalizes that, oh, I did this because they did like that. Oh, my father was denied the throne just on technical reasons. And I think all's fair in love and war. Finders, keepers, might is right. So these are the various things which a living entity kind of harbors in his heart, mind, hoping against hope that someday this might is right will kind of help him. And the Gita brings all these physical forces, psychological forces, emotional forces up to a boil kind of. And the first chapter here is where suddenly you are at the peak of confidence and you are at the depth of despair. It's a really exciting moment in the sense we don't know much about. We have today's youngsters are, you know, fed on battlefields which are all CGI operated, with 100 soldiers becoming 100,000. But none of this can match the real thing, which is the Mahabharata war. And it's like crunch time. The battle is poised, about to begin. And the soldiers are seeing Duryodhan going pillar to post, talking, discussing, hey, what's happening, what's happening? They're trying to shore up everybody's confidence. And here he is saying something. And my God, our acharyas are saying, actually, in his heart, he's a bit confused. He's a bit of wary that maybe things may not work out the way it should be. Sorry, I went on a limb. It's just so exciting. I couldn't help myself.
I also kind of got into the mindset of a battlefield. I'm kind of witnessing the battle.
Right. Oh, real.
You know, it's just like a you know, final cricket match. You know, everyone is geared up. There's something going to happen special. Oh, my favorite batsman has not come out on the crease. What happened? They changed the order suddenly. My favorite batsman is supposed to play the first ball. Now they have changed the order. What's going on? It's kind of whole suspense building up here. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for bringing this important points, that how this whole emotions are right now getting up. You know, Arjuna is going to get completely morose. By the time this discussion ends, and Duryodhan has his own set of mindset going on. Yeah, very, very interesting thing which is building up here.
Now, the next verse kind of finishes off Duryodhana's statements about how he has estimated. So maybe we should take that as a separate episode when we meet next time.
Absolutely, we can do that. Correct. So I guess we'll pause here for then today.
We'll pause here. So friends, we will meet again soon with the final and concluding verse, which showcases Duryodhana's despair, his confidence. Maybe it is false, maybe it is true, but he has to rally his forces. So let us see what he says in our next episode. Thank you for watching. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for being with us. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.